I've been encouraged by being here today and worshiping with you, encouraged in our singing. The song that we just sang goes well with our lesson. We're going to be talking about walking in the steps of the Savior, and appreciate our prayers, appreciate Don's prayer on my behalf and others, and it's been encouraging to be here. As Paulo mentioned, I'm glad that my mother-in-law is here and they've finally been able to move into town. We look forward to being with them, and I'm encouraged that we can come together this morning to worship God. While I'm thinking about it, tonight we will be continuing our series in the book of Daniel. So if you want to read Daniel chapter 8 sometime this afternoon, that'll prepare your minds for this evening's lesson. I hope that our lessons in Daniel will be encouraging to us. We'll be looking at chapter 8 this evening, Lord willing. I remember in elementary school listening to the teachers, the history teachers and others, when they were teaching American history, wide-eyed, when they would talk about the pilgrims coming over, and I envisioned that in my mind, what that would be like, and then the American Revolution. And I remember the teacher talking about the pioneers, and we would have different projects on that. We would make the little Conestoga wagon, you know, and different things involving the pioneers. And in the mid-1800s, in our American history, that was a time of the pioneers moving west. And we're going to talk about Jesus this morning in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, if you'd like to turn there, how that He is our pioneer and how He wants us to follow Him. I remember on one occasion we went on a school trip, a field trip to a museum, and there was a Conestoga wagon. That was impressive to me, that big old thing. And the teacher would talk about how that in the mid-1800s there were many pioneers who went westward. There's the California Gold Rush and the Oregon Trail and the Manifest Destiny and different things like that, and we stood there with in the field trip thinking about those men and women who moved west. And, you know, that would have been a challenging time. It would have taken a lot of sacrifice. It would have been very difficult to do. But these individuals basically paved the way for the rest of the nation to spread out, and that's why we have many states that we have today. Many of them were formed during that period of time of individuals moving west. And I think about the struggles that they would have undergone, and the teacher would talk about how that they had to face Indians and how they had to face the rivers that were flowing fast and flooding and the hard winters and different things like that. It was difficult to be a pioneer. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Hebrew writer uses a word that means that very thing that we want to consider this morning, where the Hebrew writer talks about Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith. Some versions use the word pioneer, which I think is a good word. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, after giving what we call that great faith's hall of fame, the Hebrew writer says, therefore. In other words, based upon all of these men and women who have been faithful to God, therefore, based upon the fact that we can be faithful, let us also, we also need to have the kind of faith mentioned in chapter 11, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's the men and women of faith in chapter 11, they're surrounding us, they did it, we can do it, they're encouraging us, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him, Jesus, that has endured such gainsaying of sinners against Himself, that you wax or grow not weary, fainting in your souls. looking unto Jesus. One version says, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The word that the Hebrew writer uses in this verse, archegos, means someone who is the first one to set out on a trip, and there are going to be many people following him. One who pioneers the way for others to follow. There are people spread out all over the United States today because individuals in the mid-1800s pioneered the way for others to follow. They navigated the tricky mountain passes. They navigated the rivers and the cold winters and the different things that came along the way, and others could come more easily after that. They literally left a trail. The wagons were so many that the ruts would make a trail on the ground, and future generations just followed those trails. They were trail blazers. They took the lead. Somebody had to take the lead. Somebody had to step out of the comfort of the eastern shore of the United States, the Appalachian Mountains, and leave and go west. Somebody had to take the lead, and brave men and women did that. Now, there were incentives. We know about that. There were land offers and different things like that. And, of course, the California gold rush, people wanted gold. There were different incentives, but somebody had to step out and take the lead. And they're called pioneers. And Jesus did that, and that's what we want to talk about this morning, to take the lead. I've been hearing a lot lately about leadership. I don't know if you've caught this or not, but when you turn on the news in the current pandemic that we've been having, one group says that there's been poor leadership, and then another group says that the leadership has been good, and they're going, and I hear the word leadership a lot lately. We want people to lead us. We want good leadership. I think that's typically in all of us, in any situation that's going on in life. We want somebody to be out there doing something so that we know where to go. And I'm here to tell you this morning that with regard to our spiritual journey to heaven, that Jesus is that one. This word is used four times in the New Testament. It's used two times, and all of them of Jesus. It's used twice in the book of Acts for Jesus. There, the word prince is used in some versions. A leader, prince of life, prince of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, and in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. I want to focus on the part of this definition that deals with someone who's pioneering the way. And eventually this morning we're going to look at the life of Jesus, and we're going to see some things that he did where he pioneered the way and he's wanting us to follow. These Hebrew brethren were in danger of falling away from Christ, and toward the end of this book, the writer says you need to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, my version says, looking unto Jesus. Some versions have the word fix, fixing your eyes on Jesus. The word there is literally to look at one thing and look away from all other things. Don't be distracted. To look at Jesus and not look at anything else. So that's why some versions have fixing your eyes on Jesus. This is not just merely looking out as if you casually look out and see something, but you're going to fix your eyes on Jesus and turn away from all other things. Now, if the Hebrew writer says in verse 2 to look to Jesus, that raises the question, if you read through the book of Hebrews and these Christians would have read this book and gotten this message, what exactly are they looking at? When you go through the book of Hebrews, what are the terms and the descriptions of Jesus? What are they looking at when they look to Jesus? Well, the writer uses, and I'm listing these in order of occurrence, the most at the beginning and the least toward the end of the list. He's described 14 times as a priest or a high priest. They're looking at someone who is a go-between between them and God. He's perfectly God and he's perfectly man, and he can be an intercessor between us and God. He's described as Jesus, meaning his earthly name. He's fully human. He's a real individual. He's described in the book of Hebrews as Christ, meaning anointed one, to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. They're going to see Jesus as Son. This means his divine nature. When they look at Jesus, they don't just see a man, he is fully man, Jesus, but he is Son of God. He's divine. He's described as Lord. Someone who is a master, someone whom we are going to obey. He's described, as I've mentioned this morning, the American Standard uses the word author. Some versions use the word pioneer in chapter 2 and chapter 12. Actually, the English word author is good here for those of you who have that version that use that word. When we hear the English word today, author, we think of someone who writes a book. But the old English word author meant to be the first one to do something. If you author a bill, or in years ago they used to talk about someone who authored a crime. Who authored a crime. They were the first one to commit that. So the old English word author actually means someone who begins to do something, and they are the first one to do that. And so that's that old English word author. He's described as a mediator. And he is our mediator. In chapter 7, he helps to mediate when we pray to God. And we need that each day. He's a sanctifier. He sets us apart by his blood, which he shed on the cross. He's described as an apostle in chapter 3. Someone who was sent from God to this earth to help us. He's described as the source. This is a little bit different word. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the source. My version says the author of eternal salvation. It's a little bit different word than chapter 12 and verse 2. Literally, the cause, the beginning point. He's a shepherd in chapter 13. He leads us. He guides us. He's a surety. He's an heir. He's a minister. He serves us in heaven. He's a forerunner, chapter 6. The end of chapter 6 there, whether as a forerunner, Jesus entered in for us. And he is the finisher, the perfecter of faith, literally the faith. When the writer says in chapter 12, look to Jesus, they would be looking at all of these things, and we're going to focus this morning on that pioneer word. We need someone to lead the way. And Jesus is that for us. In chapter 12 and verse 2, when the writer says to look unto Jesus, a leader is implied. We need someone to lead us. Look at our world today. Look at society. Look at how out of whack it is. Who is going to be the one leading our young people? I've enjoyed our high school class this quarter. Who's going to lead our young people? We need a leader, and Jesus is that. And the need to follow him is implied. We're going to see later on here in the lesson that there are some areas that may be challenging for us. Maybe it would be difficult for us to follow. Maybe that's not something that's popular, but we need to follow. He's only going to lead us in an area that is right. Maybe challenging, but it's the right way to go. And there is a particular way. The writer here talks about the race that is set before us. There's one way. This Christian race to heaven is a particular way that must be run. And it involves, verse 1, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Number 2, it involves running with patience and endurance. We can't give up. In difficult times, we cannot give up. Number 3, it involves fixing our eyes on Jesus and turning away from all other things in the world and staying focused on that. And I'm like you, I'm like anyone, it's easy to get distracted when you're driving. And as we go through life, it may be easy to get distracted, but we've got to stay fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. There's a particular way that we need to be going. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. You know, Jesus is that pioneer. And a good leader is always out front. When you look at the life of Jesus, like we're going to survey here in just a minute, you never find him on the sideline. You don't find him in the background. You don't find anybody having to poke him and prod him to get out and do something. He's always visible. He's always out front. And he is practicing what he preaches. He's not telling people that you need to go a certain way, but I'm not going to go there. He goes that way himself first. He lives that way himself first. And he provides the example for the rest of us. And then he makes sure that everybody clearly knows where to go. He communicates that very well. When you look at the Gospels, when you open your Bible and read the Gospel stories, it's very clear what Jesus is doing. He's not vague about what he says or about what he does. It's not mysterious. It's not vague. It's not mystical. It's very clear how we are supposed to live. And that's what a pioneer does. They're out in front. They're leading others. You know, great things have been accomplished in our society because of pioneers. There have been doctors and physicians that have pioneered vaccines, and we're working on one right now for the current pandemic. There have been scientists, Wernher von Braun, there have been scientists that pioneered the space program. What's a pioneer? Someone who's willing to be out front and do the extra, do the hard work. Go where others have not gone before. And we are the recipients of that. And that's what Jesus is for us spiritually. And a good leader inspires others to follow. Jesus says to us, you can get up and do the same. And I want you to get up and do the same. Let's do this together. And that's what the Hebrew writer is doing, that we can follow Jesus. So let's turn this morning, in the time that we have for our admonition, I want to survey the life of Christ. These points that I'm going to give this morning are roughly in chronological order from beginning to end. But what did Jesus do to pioneer, to lead the way for us to follow? Let's look at that. And let's start in Luke chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there. Jesus is the archegos. He is the one who pioneers the way for others to follow. He is the one who takes the lead in anything and wants us to follow that lead. When we look at the life of Christ, we see him as if he were a pioneer. And it begins about age 12. His mother and father were spiritually minded, as we parents today need to be. They're taking Jesus to the temple when he's 8 days old. They make a regular habit of going to the temple. We find that in Luke chapter 2. So godly parents are important. And we find them going to the temple about age 12. And we find in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them, and his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in men. Jesus leads the way for our young people who are here this morning. In your childhood and in your youth, be someone who is subject and obedient to mom and dad and to God in heaven. Our youth today need to hear that message. Jesus leads the way as a young 12-year-old, saying, "This is the way of youth: obedience, subjection, being right with my parents, with others around me, in favor with God and men. I'm going to advance in wisdom. I'm going to work on my education. In stature, my physical growth of my body, I'm going to work and make sure that I'm in a right relationship with God and with my fellow man." Four areas of a young person's life: education, physical growth, spirituality, and social ability with others around you. Jesus leads that way. And our young people here this morning, I know, want to follow that way. The way of obedience and subjection. And we get started off right in our life that way. The rest of our life goes well. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Jesus leads the way in baptism. Jesus was not baptized because he had sin. He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew says. It's to show what is right. What is right with God? God wants men to be baptized. And Jesus led that way. And we need to be baptized into Christ if we have not done that. In the religious world today, baptism is downplayed. It's ignored. It's about faith only. You may do it or you may not do it. It doesn't really matter. But not with Jesus. What we find happening is that when he gets of age, about 30 years old, and he's going to begin his ministry, it starts with baptism. And we need to follow that same example today, as many of you have already done. Jesus leads the way in showing us how to deal with temptation in the very next chapter. And notice how quickly the devil comes after baptism. The devil's going to come quickly after baptism. He's not going to leave us alone. And Jesus goes into the wilderness. He's driven there by the Spirit. This was a part of God's plan. This was not accidental. But he's driven there. He's tempted of the devil in all of these points. And we learn how to handle temptation. He's done this before. He's gone before us. He shows us the way to go. If you were in the mid-1800s, and some of the pioneers had already left, and now you're leaving, you don't have to guess where to go when you come to this river or this mountain. You're going to see the trail. You're going to see where to go. And when we open up and see Jesus, he's telling us exactly where to go. And when it comes to temptation, what you do is you refer to Scripture like he did. He said, "It is written." You tell the devil no. You stand up to the devil. You tell him no. James says that we can resist him and he'll flee from us. Jesus tells us how to navigate that. And we can do the same. And we should do the same. At the end of that confrontation, then the devil leaveth him. Yeah, that's right. That's what happens. You stand up to him. You say no. You say, "It is written." You say, "I'm going to worship God and Him only. I'm going to serve." The devil's got to go somewhere else. Jesus is a pioneer. And we studied recently 1 Corinthians 10:13, how that God gives us a way of escape. Jesus leads the way. Turn with me to John chapter 2. Shortly after this incident, when Jesus begins his public preaching ministry, we find that Jesus leads the way in confrontation. This is one of those harder areas. But there are going to be times when we have to stand up to sin and error and worldliness and wrongdoing. And we're going to have to confront what is wrong. And that's a difficult time. That's a difficult thing to do. But Jesus leads the way. And we find that there were times in Jesus' ministry where, in this occasion in John 2, where he cleanses the temple. The temple had been used just for a worldly place of business. It was no longer a spiritual house of prayer. He goes in there and he cleanses the temple. He does it again at the end of his ministry. In Matthew chapter 11, he says, "Woe to the scribes and Pharisees." He addresses their human tradition in chapter 15. He calls them out as hypocrites in chapter 23. There are going to be times where we have to stand up to what is wrong. And Jesus leads the way on how to do that. He was not ugly, and he was not physically confrontational. He didn't bully people. He called out their sin and their wrongdoing. And he makes a dramatic show of it here in John chapter 2. But there are going to be times when we have to confront what is wrong. And Jesus leads the way on how to do that. Firm, but confrontational. And there were times where he just was simply plain about things. In John chapter 8, with the woman caught in adultery, he says, "Go sin no more." Just being plain, just being open, addressing the need of the hour. Jesus shows us how to do that. Turns me to Luke chapter 4. There was a time when Jesus, then after his baptism and temptation, where he begins his public preaching ministry in Galilee and the surrounding areas. And we find that in chapter 4 and verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he was brought up, and he entered, as his custom was, into the synagogue. There are many times in the gospel accounts where it says that Jesus was in the synagogue. He leads us to show that we go to worship God, like you're doing this morning here. I'm going to go worship my God. Scripture is going to be in my life. They hand him the scroll of Isaiah. He reads from that and preaches a sermon from Isaiah. I, on the Sabbath day, I'm going to be in the synagogue. I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to read my Scripture. And in a world today where that has gone by the wayside, and you come to the building on Sunday, and because we live near Swan Lake, you know, the golf course there, people playing golf and people getting their boats ready to go out to the lake and do whatever. Worship has gone by the wayside in the 21st century. And spirituality and reading Scripture and reading our Bibles, and I'm glad that we read and encourage that on a daily basis. Jesus leads the way that I am going to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's where I'm going to be. Because worship is important. And having a life full of Scripture, we can't even begin to look at all of the places in the Gospels where Jesus is quoting Scripture and reading Scripture and telling people to go read the Scripture. That was the center part of his life, the Word of God. And he leads us in that same way today. He wants us to walk in those same paths. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse 38. Jesus was a pioneer in staying focused on his mission. In the book of John, the expression is "my hour." He kept moving toward "my hour." His mission was ultimately not just to teach and work miracles, but to die on the cross. And he says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 38, "I need to go other places and preach, for this is the reason I came. This is why I came. I have come." He was always mission-oriented. He never lost sight of that. And he's an example for us to stay mission-oriented as we go through life. And we will have things involving work and school and daily affairs, but always stay on track with what is our mission as a Christian. Nobody ever had to remind Jesus of what he was supposed to do. Nobody had to sit him down and say, "Are you doing what you're supposed to do?" He was always doing that on his own. When he preached in the Sermon on the Mount, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus was a trailblazer when it came to priorities. And he wants us to follow in his steps. It's always about God first. It's always about the kingdom first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all of these things. He had been talking about things like food, shelter, and clothing. All of these things shall be added unto you. You put the kingdom first. Go back to verse 19. Lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Stay prioritized. What is first in our life? You never see Jesus ever lose track of his priority. You never see Jesus lose track of his reliance upon God. Turn with me to John chapter 8. As he goes through his 3+ year ministry, he is always relying upon God. You never see him relying on somebody else or something else. He that sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. While we're on this point, we can go ahead and mention this next matter of prayer. Always focusing on Scripture. Always focusing on prayer. Always relying upon God. He leads the way for us. Because as we go through life, we ask ourselves, okay, who or what am I going to rely upon? He's telling us God is that one. With regard to prayer in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, if you turn there, the text says that the disciples had seen Jesus praying, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." He was the epitome of prayer. He was the embodiment of prayer, and they had seen him doing that. And so, "Lord, teach us, we want to be doing that like you're doing that." One occasion, he went up into a mountain to pray. He got away. He wanted to be with his Father. There's your reliance. There's your spiritual reliance. And I would encourage us that we find some time during the day, whether it's at the beginning before we start our day or at the end when we end our day, or some point where we can get away and have some spiritual focus and reliance upon God to deal with the things that we're dealing with. John 17, as they're walking through Jerusalem, the text says that he looked up into heaven. I'm assuming that they stopped there for a little bit. Can you imagine Jesus teaching the disciples? They're walking through town. They're going over toward the brook Kidron and the Garden of Gethsemane, and they just stop. And for a whole chapter, he just offers up a prayer to God. They see that. He's leading the way for us. One of my favorite songs in the songbook, "Did You Think to Pray? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray?" Constantly pray. And he's showing us that we are to do the same. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Jesus is a pioneer in his outreach toward others. The text says that he would eat with sinners, that he would talk with sinners, that he would go be with sinners. And at the beginning of Luke chapter 15, the Pharisees are all upset that he's associating with sinners. And in Luke chapter 19, when he went to the home of Zacchaeus, the text says that some were upset. They were murmuring that he went home with a sinner. Jesus is a pioneer in showing us that we're to talk with others out in the world. Invite them to services. Try to set up a Bible study. It's easy to overlook them. It's easy to avoid them. It's easy to walk around them. It's easy to stay away from them. But Jesus is showing us that we're to outreach toward them. Let us use our opportunities to talk with others so they can come out of sin just like somebody talked with us and helped us to come out of sin. Jesus leads the way in love. You might recall in Mark chapter 10, there when he's talking with the rich young ruler, it's Mark's account that said that he looked at him and he loved him. And he told him, "One thing you lack, go sell all that you have, give to the poor and come follow me." He loved him. Love looks at someone and says, what is best for them? What can I say that's best going to help them? And when he's asked about the greatest commandment, two chapters later, to love God with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourself. Loving in the sense of saying and doing what is best for others. He's a pioneer. And serving. Jesus said that the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom. He's a pioneer in service. There wasn't a selfish bone in His body. In John chapter 13, in the Passover meal, after the meal, the text says, John says that he put a towel around his waist and got down and washed the disciples' feet. And he says, "Do you not know what I have done unto you?" They knew what foot washing was. They had done it their whole life. You do that in Palestine. It's like we have daily habits at home. They were very familiar with what foot washing was. What he said was, "Do you not know what I have done unto you?" He's saying, "Do you not know that I have served you and you need to go out and serve others?" They knew what foot washing was. He wanted to teach a lesson in service. And I want you to go out and do the same. He was a pioneer in that regard. And He wants us to do the same. And when we get to His trial and His suffering on the cross that we've memorialized today in the Lord's Supper, how to face trial, how to face suffering. He's being slapped around, beaten, spit on, hanging there agonizing with the nails in his hands and feet and crown of thorns on his head. And He's showing us the way that when we have to undergo similar types of situations, to handle it in the same kind of way. When He's hanging on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It would be easy to have a revenge type spirit or something along those lines, but He's teaching us how to handle those kinds of things. Stephen says the same thing in Acts chapter 7. He's leading the way. He's showing us the way. And then ultimately, when He was resurrected from the dead, Mark 16 says that He was raised and He went back up into heaven to be at the right hand of God. Peter says that we'll suffer, but we'll also one day be glorified, from suffering to glory, the same way that Jesus did. He's showing us the way. And so, just in a brief survey of Jesus' life, we find that He is a pioneer, paving the way for us to follow. Now it's time for us to follow. Young people, follow Him in your youth like Jesus did at age 12 and onward. And all of these things that we've talked about, maybe you need to be baptized this morning. Maybe you need to follow Jesus down into the Jordan and be baptized. And when we confront temptation and when we confront error and all of these things that we talked about, let Jesus be the one to show us how to do that. In the 1840s, if I wanted to go to California, can you imagine leaving some community, for example, in Virginia. And you leave town, you can see the fence back there. Okay, now what do I do? Well, California is that way. Well, now what do I do? You want somebody to show you the way. And you know those first people that struck out, boy, that was hard for them. They didn't have the privileges that later folks have. They didn't have the conveniences and the privileges and all of that. They learned that as they went. And you think about Jesus being a pioneer, the first one striking out doing these types of things. But He did that for us, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's a pioneer. Now get in behind Him and follow Him all the way in these various areas of our life. And we'll go to glory as well. If we can assist you in that journey, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?